Okay, good morning. Welcome back to the Svasana Shir Weekly here at Adas Torah. We are thankful to our sponsors this month, Nicole, Dr. Moshe and Brandy Ben Arosh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov Kapel Ben Yechiel Tzvi HaKohen, and in particular, our Shir this morning, how you doing? Our Shir this morning is sponsored by Dubin and Marcella Hannon in honor of the Moshe Berman's Bar Mitzvah. It's a Bar Mitzvah I'm sad to miss, so I'm happy that in some way, Mazel Tov is right. I'm happy that in some way we can be mistarik with the Simcha. Moshe Berman's father and mother are close friends of mine, and Dubin is also a very, very close friend. So we are appreciative of their sponsorship as well. I'll take a moment to mention to anyone who's listening online, and I won't make eye contact with the people who are in person, but we're looking for a sponsor for the month of Adar. So if anyone is willing to step up, it's my favorite month. It has Purim. Purim is my favorite holiday. So it has a special place in my heart if you would sponsor the month of Adar. We're still desperately, I would say, searching. Okay. In source number one, on the source sheet, you have the Pasuk. We're actually going to go, we're going to build towards the Svas Emes here because we want to give a little bit of background in terms of what the Svas Emes is addressing. The way the Svas Emes starts, if you look in source number one, after the indent, you have a Svas Emes. So he starts by saying, Ibn Ezra. So we have to know the Ibn Ezra. Most of us are familiar probably with the question, even if we don't know who it's attributed to. So let's talk it out and see two amazing ideas and follow that Amir Sashem with an amazing idea of the Svas Emes. So in the Pasuk tells us in the Seres Diros, Lo sachmod, you cannot be envious, jealous, right? You can't desire, you can't be desirous of something that someone else owns. Lo sachmod, lo sasave, you can't desire somebody else's property. Beis reyecha, his house. Lo sachmod, eishes reyecha, his wife. Ve'avdo, his slave, amaso, his servant. Vishoro, v'chamoro, v'chol asher reyecha, all the property, all the possessions, and all the goods that a person has in his life, you shouldn't be jealous of. You shouldn't be envious of what he has. Okay, that's what the Torah tells us. Says the Ibn Ezra, Anashim rabim yitmu al zos ha-mitzvah. Many people are very bothered by this mitzvah. Why, famously? How can the mitzvah tell me how to feel? Exactly. It's very natural that when a person sees something they want, they are jealous for it. They're mekane it. They're over on low sachmod. How could that be a mitzvah? How could the Torah tell me to control my emotions? How can we control our emotions? It's natural. It's a visceral reaction to what we see and what we perceive. When you see something that's attractive, so how do you not want it? How do you not desire it? And if someone else owns it, how are you not jealous of it? So Ibn Ezra says, and this is, I think, pretty well known, but we'll spell it out anyways. It's important to review. He says, Etan l'cha mashal, I'll give you a mashal, I'll give you a metaphor, right? And exactly, to spell out exactly what the idea is here. Da, understand. Ki'ish kfari sheyesh l'das n'chona. You have a villager, a peasant, a guy who lives in a village. He's a poor person. He's not so fancy. He's not so wealthy. He's not so well-to-do. He's just an ish kvar. He's just a villager, a peasant. Sheish l'das nechona. But he has a straight head. He's not delusional, at least. Okay, he has a straight head. V'hu ra bas melech sheyafa. He's walking through town one day, and he sees the daughter of the king, the princess, is walking through town. And she's beautiful, and she's rich, and she's decorated in amazing clothing, and she has fine midos. So what's he going to think in his head? He's going to think, as this villager, as this pauper, ugh, I'm so jealous. I wish I could marry someone like that. No, that's ridiculous. He's not going to wish that he could be with her. Why? What does he know? It's impossible. Okay, they obviously never saw Aladdin, the Ibn Ezra. He thinks it's impossible, though. He thinks, how is it possible that I could possibly ever marry such a person? I'm down here. She's all the way up there. She doesn't live in my world. She's not someone who's shayach to me, is relevant to me, doesn't relate to me at all. This same peasant, he doesn't sometimes at night go to sleep and be jealous of birds that they can fly. He's not a bird, he's a person. So he's a villager, he's a pauper, he's a peasant. He doesn't know anything to make a route to have a marriage with this woman, so he's not going to be jealous of it. So he says this, the Ibn Ezra, kacha kol maskil tzarech sheyeda. This is important. He uses the word a few times, maskil. Maskil again in two lines down. That anyone who's a thinker, who's logical, right, who's smart in any way, who has brains, will realize this is out of his league. V'achar sheyeda she'esh reyo asra Hashem lo. Now if a person looks at the Torah in the mitzvah and he says, ah, my friend's wife, she is forbidden to me. Hashem said that's asr, my friend's house. Hashem said, I cannot take this from him. It is not mine. Unless I pay money for something, it's not mine. Even more so than thinking that this woman is not in my league, she's beyond my reach because she's the daughter of the king and I'm just a peasant. Even more than that, Hashem says, this is usher, black and white. There's nothing to do about it. It's not, another person's property is not in my league. It's not shayach to me. It's not relevant to me. I can't possibly have it. If a person realizes that this is so far removed from me that it's not shayach to me, then he has no chemda. He has no jealousy, he has no kinna, he's not envious. Why? Because it doesn't apply to him. It doesn't relate to him. He can't possibly imagine ever having this item, having this person, and therefore he won't feel jealous. That's what the Ibn Ezra suggests, is the way that the Torah can say it can command on feelings. Why? Because the Torah already told you it's usser to have X, Y, and Z. Once it's usser, all you have to do is realize it's usser, and then you can control that emotion, and you won't feel envious, you won't feel jealous of another person's property. The Beis HaLevi quotes this. You have in source one, the second indent over here, the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, the great-grandpa of the Rav, the father of Chaim Soloveitchik. So the Beis HaLevi is a parish in the Torah. So he has beautifully, he quotes this this Ibn Ezra, and then he says, it's true. He says, "Behu hasber yafeh gam na'im." He says the Ibn Ezra's parish, his explanation is beautiful. It's excellent. It's very nice. But he says, even without the Ibn Ezra's explanation, I can give you another explanation. Listen to this. This is amazing. This is amazing. He gives a different mashal, okay? Different mashal, different metaphor. Let's say a person is extremely hungry, and on the other side of the of a river, he sees that there is food, kosher food, whatever. The mashal doesn't matter if it's kosher or treif. He sees food on the other side of the river. Luckily, it's winter and it's Siberia, so it's freezing cold. So the river's frozen over, so he can walk across the river to get to the food. So he's starving. He's starving. So he starts running and panting. You want to just pass back a sheet to Daniel? He's running. He's panting. You have a sheet? You want a sheet? You want to pass two back? Thanks. He starts panting. He's running. He's darting across the river. Why? Because he sees food on the other side and he's starving. He's ready for the food. So that's, we call it Yetzirah, call it not Yetzirah. He has a taiva for the food, correct? He's desiring that food very badly. So much so he's running across the river as fast as he can. Fine. Halfway across the river, he hears a crack. A crack. And he feels the ice shifting a little under his feet. What happens at that moment? Aside from the fact that he probably finds the closest exit, right? He finds the best way out of the river. But what happens in his heart, in his stomach right then? Is he hungry anymore? He's not hungry anymore. He's not hungry anymore. Why? He has bigger issues, exactly. Meaning, the second that a person feels fear, feels yira, feels a pachad, his nervousness and anxiety takes away the possibility of feeling anything else. The second that a person feels that there's a gun pointed at the hand, that the ice is cracking, he doesn't have a taiva for what's on the other side of the river anymore. All he has a taiva for is to save his life, is to get out of there as fast as possible. Once he hears that cracking sound, all other feelings dissipate, all other feelings disappear. Says the Beis HaLevi, a person does naturally desire what's not his, especially if it's attractive, especially if it's something that that will give him pleasure. He wants what's not his. But if a person would only feel yira, would only feel fear, that would go away immediately. So the Beis HaLevi says we can control our emotions because it's true. Naturally, instinctually, we right away think, okay, we want this thing that's not ours. But if a person trains themselves to realize that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's aser, and therefore there will be an onesh, and we have to be fearful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of his greatness and vastness, etc., etc., that yiras Hashem and yiras hachet, that pachad, takes away that feeling of chemda and lo sachmod is possible for every person if they can tap into Yiras Hashem. So not exactly like the Ibn Ezra said, where the Ibn Ezra said that you can realize that it's not shaykh. You can't get it. It's just like this lady is not possible to marry. This car is not possible to be mine. It's out of my league. It's not possible for me. So lo sachmod. The Beis HaLevi says, even though you might psychologically think it's shaykh to you, but if you have a pachad, a yira, the ice is cracking under our feet constantly, we won't possibly run across that river, and lo sachmod, we won't desire that which is on their side, because that feeling goes away, it disappears. I didn't have a chance to look it up this morning, but I think I read in the, just one more passing job. It keeps you awake, at least. I think I read in the biography of Rav David Soloveitchik. Rav David Soloveitchik's yahrzeit, I think, was this week, 2 days ago or something. So Rav David Soloveitchik, in the biography they published last year, I think that towards the end of the book, they had a story where someone, I don't know how you have such chutzpah, all these books are made up of people who are so mechutzav to say funny things to Rebbeim. But they said to the Rebbe, to Rav David Soloveitchik, they said, "You're not so impressive that that you never do averus." Like, why? So they said, because you don't really have bechira chafshis. You don't have free will. Why? He said, because your yiras hachet, your yiras Hashem is so strong that you could never do an avera. You could never do an avera because you don't have bechir chavshes anymore. If you're so scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's not that you don't sin, it's that you can't sin. Now, I would never talk that way to my Rebbeim, but the point he was making was really this Beis HaLevi's point, and Rav David had an answer to him. But the point he was making was this point. If a person constantly felt the ice cracking under their feet, they would have no other choice but to turn around and run away from the avera. Yiras Hashem helps us control our feelings and avoid those feelings entirely. Going to the source number one, after the indents, the Sfas Emes and Parshas Yisro, Tuf Reish Lamed Vav, 1876, he quotes the Ibn Ezra, Ibn Ezra, Hiksha Alo Sachmod, that's the question we spelled out, Vitirates, That's the answer the Ibn Ezra gave. We also gave a second answer from the Beis HaLevi. And the Sfas HaEmes says like this, Aval be'emes nira ki af sheyesh chemda le'inyanei olam hazeh. The Sfas HaEmes says, no, it is true. People do have chemda. They do have desires, they do have jealousy, they do want things in this world other than ruchnius, other than what we're supposed to want in this world. People do have that nature to be driven to want things that are not theirs. Achatshuka, that desire, tzarech li'os ba'adam l'kayim ma'amar Hashem. Says the Sfas like this. A person has to direct his passions, direct his desires, his drive, his will, his wants in this world towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards Hashem. You have to always desire being close to Hashem, being mekayim the dvar Hashem, doing ratzon Hashem. That's what a person's desire is to truly be in this world. V'zos hachemda, if a person trains himself to want that, if a person trains himself to specifically want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is amazing. V'zos hachemda tigbor neged kol hachemda shebo'olam. It overpowers the chemda that a person has in other areas of life. A person wants two things. He wants his friend's house, and he wants to be close to Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra gave us ideas. Realize that your friend's house is not for you. The Beis HaLevi gave us ideas. A kunz. Have yiras shemayim, and you won't want your friend's house, because it's not yours, and it's an isser. Says the Sfas HaEmes, don't worry about avoiding the isser. Worry about this. You want two things. You want the house and you want to be close to Hashem. If you focus on that desire to do Ratz on Hashem, you focus on the desire to learn Torah, to do mitzvos, to build up your connection to Ruchnius, it's not that you have to avoid chemda, avoid jealousy. That will go away because your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your desire for a closeness to Hashem, will overpower that negative desire. Isn't that amazing? That if you have a proper tshuka, a proper chemda, a desire to be close to Hashem, the other desires will go away because everything will be subsumed under that. That's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. The Mishnah says, "Batal ritzoncha mipnei ritzono." Nullify your own desires before Hashem's desires. Mipnei ritzono. Let's stop there for a second. So you should be nullifying your desire in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire. The Sfas HaEmes is saying a different chat over here. You have right under this, the Sfas HaEmes in Parshas Tzav, Tafresh Mem Dalid. The Sfas HaEmes says it a little bit clearer, that if a person has a tremendous passion, desire, hislavus, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then nisraf umizbatel hamachshava, his machshava zara, his bad thoughts for averas will be burnt up, will disappear, will be nullified entirely. Batel ritzoncha mibnei ritzono means like this. When the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, nullify, put aside your wants for Hashem's wants, it means that if you make Hashem's wants your wants, then batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, the ratzon of doing ratzon Hashem will overpower, will burn up any other ratzon that a person has in his life. So focus on the chemda, focus on the positive, and the negative will disappear. That's what the Sfas HaEmes of the lesson he's teaching us. But he points out very importantly, ach mikodem, you have in the underline here, ach mikodem, kasev, sur meira v'ase tov, right? Kipshuto migzeres hamelch kedivrei Ibn Ezra hanal. Says the Sfas HaEmes like this, I am telling you a very feel-good message, a very important message, a very positive message, that's not only about building up your Yiras Shemayim, it's not only about realizing that you're not shayach to the Avera, but it's also, or even more predominantly, about focusing on the positive, building up your chemda for Hashem. If you have a tremendous cheshek and a tremendous tshuka and a chemda to come close to Hashem, to experience a close bond with Hashem through His Torah and mitzvos, then all other chemda will disappear. All the other desires will go away. But a person can't do averus. The first step is obviously sur meira v'ase tov. Sur meira, you have to avoid ra, avoid evil, avoid averus. Okay, so the way a person has to live his life is as follows. Practically speaking, he has to not do averus. Okay, but if a person doesn't do averos, he has a lot of time in his hands to do mitzvos. So the Sfas HaEmes is saying, in terms of order, in terms of precedence, in terms of order, a person has to obviously first put sur meira. He has to avoid doing averos. You can't be doing averos and hope that doing mitzvos will outweigh that. No. You have to avoid the averos. Kipshuto. That's what the Torah says. Lo sachmod. But if a person isn't, he pushes against his yetzer hara, and at the same time he's building up his yetzer tov, that's the formula to have not even have a feeling of wanting to do an Avera, unbelievable, says the Sfas HaEmes. Okay, source number two. Once we're talking about Yiras Shemayim, let's just balance it with one other very beautiful on the bottom of page number one, source number two. Very beautiful idea from the Sfas HaEmes, very short. The Pasuk tells us by Matan Torah, Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am, Moshe tells the Klal Yisrael, Al Tira'u, which means don't fear. Okay, pay attention. Ki Leva'avur Nasos Eschem, because the Kaddish Baruch is testing you fine, Uva'avur, so that Tia Yir'aso Al Panechem, Levilti Sechetau. Says the Torah, Moshe says, Al tiro, don't be fearful. Rather, Hashem is doing all these things to test you. Uva avur, so that, what?
His fear.
His fear should be on you. What's the obvious issue?
Yeah, that's what the Sasana starts with. L'chor utad disaster. It's a steer, it's a contradiction. Why? Don't fear. The whole point of what Hashem's doing right now is to cause fear in you. Which one is it? We shouldn't have fear or we should have fear? Says the Sfasamas, there's two types of fear. Two types of fear. Acha inyan sha'yira tzarech lios kedei shelo yechta. Kamo shekasav, sha'yira hi lizam mimitzas los esay. What does the pasuk say? Ba'avur tia yira so apneichem levilti sechato. What's the point of yira shemayim? Like we said before, to keep us from doing aviros. If you're fearful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will not violate his Torah. That type of yira HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have and tries to push us to have at Matan Torah. So that type of yira, of course, we're supposed to have. Yira schit, be fearful of Hashem that we shouldn't do aviros. But there's another type of fear where a person isn't only in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore avoids his mitzvos, but he feels distant. He feels so fearful that he can't approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Torah, Al ti ra'u, because the Pasuk tells us, Vayara am vayanu'u mirachok, the Klal Yisrael felt very scared of Hashem, and therefore they stood at a distance. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, no, Al ti ra'u, don't be so scared, come close, be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feel the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feel the embrace, but uva'avur tia yiras al p'nechem, that a person still does have to feel a yiras shemayim, a yiras hachet, that they should avoid averos. Two types of yira. A yiras ha'onesh, a yiras hachet, a yiras haromimus, avad, a person has to feel. But a yira to the point where a person doesn't feel like they can approach the Ribbono Shel Olam, they can't feel they could daven, they can't feel that they could talk to Hashem, they could reach out to Hashem, they could do his mitzvos and love him, that chas v'shalom. It has to be a yira and an avad that are balanced. So yiras shemayim, yiras hachet, yes, but a yira that keeps you far away, me'rachok, absolutely not. Source number 3, you flip the page. The Sfas Emes has here in Parshas Yisro, Tafresh Mem Beis. So we're going back in time here to 1882. The Sfas Emes says, Vayachnu b'midbar, the Pasuk tells us that they went from Rephidim, they went to all the different stops along in the Midbar. Vayachnu b'midbar, not in the Midbar yet, sorry. Vayachnu b'midbar, they rested in the Midbar. Meaning they found a place to rest, like to encamp in the Midbar. Says Sfas Emes, Shalom matzu lahem manoach b'chol makom shel yishuv. Everywhere else they stopped temporarily, a motel in Rephidim, they went to Sukkos. Each place was like a little bit of a stopover. They never felt manoach. They never felt rested. They never felt like they really fit in those places. Mar, Rephidim, all these places. Rakba, Midbar. Only when they got to the desert, they started to feel comfortable. Strange. The desert of all places, they felt comfortable? Because Sfas Emes explains, Kiador sheyatsu mitzrayim, this generation that left Mitzrayim to go get the Torah, nis'alu migashmias. We spoke about this last week, or 2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago. The door that left the Mitzrayim, they were uplifted from gashmias. Meaning, remember we said they didn't even want to ask for the clothing or the jewelry when they were leaving Mitzrayim? It was 2 weeks ago. They didn't want to ask for the jewelry or the clothing because they didn't want anything physical. They were all ruchnias at that point. So these people were not interested in sukkos, in the hotel at Mara. They weren't interested in any of those things. What were they interested in? They were interested in ruchnias. Below sablu kol makomos, each place they went, they're like, I don't want this. I don't want this gashmias. I don't want this physicality. Kilo matza and so they only found comfort, sorry, they only found respite in the Midbar. Okay. Says the Sfas Emes, but it's deeper than that. V'chasher chacham higidu, the second to last line here in source number 3, the first piece. Kilo matza kadosh baruch hu makom tov latorah rak midbar. So we know that Chazal tell us that Hashem felt that the Torah had to be given in the Midbar, and that was the only place fitting for the Torah to be given. Kein achanas b'nei Yisrael. So too, b'nei Yisrael, in their preparation to receive the Torah, lo nisyasher b'libam ad shehigiyu l'midbar, az v'yachanu. Since they were oriented towards, they were only calibrating their lives towards a kabbalas Torah, so the same way Hashem didn't feel you can give the Torah anywhere but the Midbar, so the Klal Yisrael felt they had to be in the Midbar now. That's what they were looking for, to be in a Midbar, not for physicality and gashmias, but to be in a Midbar ready to get the Torah. So the Sfas Emes here points to, v'ayin b'sefer Tiferes Yisrael. Anyone know who wrote the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael? The Maharal. The Maharal, very good. The Maharal. So the Maharal wrote a lot of Svarim. The Tiferes Yisrael is a part of a, he planned to write a network of Svarim based on the Pasuk, L'cha Hashem ha-gedula v'ha-gevur v'ha-tiferes v'ha-netzach v'ha-hod. So gedula was supposed to be at Shabbos. Gevur was supposed to be about Epsitzias Mitzrayim or something. Ha-gedula v'ha-gevur v'ha-tiferes was about Matan Torah, Tiferes Yisrael. Netzach was supposed to be, I forget already what it was supposed to be, and then Hod. So he has different Svarim, Gvuros Hashem, that are based on those, we don't have all of them. We don't have the one on Shabbos, for example. But Tiferes Yisrael was one of them that he planned to wrote, 70 Prakim. It's about Matan Torah, it talks about mitzvahs, it talks about Torah, it talks about Yiddishkeit through Torah. Time and mitzvahs is very fascinating, Sefer. So in the 26th parak here, this is what the Sfas Emes is referring to, he says like this, Kel Yam Vayardim Hem Chomrim. an ocean, a river, it's physical. Why? Because that's where people, or I should say creatures, gain life. Fish live there. People have to drink from the water. Plant life is watered and therefore grows. It's very physical. It's attached to this world. Lufichach, ein lahem kiyum, im Hashem Yisbarach, shu kadosh nivdal min achomri. Anything that's truly physical can't coexist with the Kadosh Baruch, because the Kadosh Baruch is totally nivdal, totally separate and distinct, totally apart from this world, from Gashmias. He's totally ruchni. He's totally spiritual, of course, right? There's no body, etc. He says, I put it in small, because it's not for now, but this small font over here is an amazing shot. He says, that's why when the Klal Yisrael got to the Yarden, hayam ra'a vayanos, the water ran away, because the Jewish people were all ruchni, and Hashem was with them in coming out of Mitzrayim, and when the water saw it, it just ran away. The water can't coexist with that much ruchnius. Amazing, amazing pshat. Okay, Aval Amidbar, he says, a desert, Midnesha Einbo Dabra Chomri, nothing's there. Nothing's there. Shari Einbo Metzias Chomri. There's nothing physical that can grow there. Vein Darmbo, no one lives there. Hanivram HaChomrim. Raki Shamama Vitzaya. It's totally, it's thirsty and desolate. It doesn't there's nothing in life that exists there. Bishvil Kach Nitna HaTorah, She Aseichel Gamar Bamidbar. Torah is totally nivdal, is totally separate, is totally apart from Gashmias. Torah cannot exist, cannot coexist with Gashmias. Ain Torah Ella, from the Gemara tells us that Torah comes from the Aniyim. That Torah comes from people who aren't enjoying all the pleasures of this world. If we're focused too much on the Gashmias of this world and the physicality of this world, we can't also learn Torah. Tosas quote a medrash or something like that. Ash Torah toch mei. He doesn't want that it's impossible that Torah should be filling his being. It's possible that Torah should fill a person's body unless he gets rid of all the food in his body, meaning unless he's not overindulging eating. A person has to eat to stay alive and has to eat on Shabbos to enjoy Onik Shabbos. But more than the amount that's necessary to fress beyond what's necessary is an ikuv. It's an impediment. It doesn't allow Torah to come in. Why? Because Torah is totally ruchni. Hashem is totally ruchni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah cannot coexist with something that has physicality as the focus in its life. So the Torah needed to be given in a midbar, where there was nothing else, there was no distraction, there was no physicality, and that's why Klal Yisrael only felt comfortable when they finally got to a midbar, because they were ready for a Torah, they were ruchni, they were divorced from Gashmias, so they had to run to a midbar, and that's where they finally felt at home, where there was no Gashmias to weigh them down at all. Well, maybe we'll just cover one more, just because we have two more, so we'll pick one. Source number five, skip to the bottom. The Sfas Emes here in Yisro, Tafresh Mem Dalad, 1884. This Sfas Emes says a very nice grammatical pshat, a very nice pshat in the Pasuk, which I think is worth sharing. The Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard the father in law of Moshe, is Kol Asher Asa Elokim LeMoshe Yisrael Amo. He heard everything that happened to Moshe and Yisrael. What does that mean? Kriyas Yamsuf, Yisrael Strayim, right? Okay, so we know that Yisro heard everything, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Kihotzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mim Strayim. What's the problem?
He knew it already.
Yeah. So the pasuk says, "Vayishma Yisro is kol asher asa lokim," which means Yisias Mitzrayim. Then the pasuk says, "Ki hotzi Hashem es Yisrael mimitzrayim." Understand? You just told me asher asa. That's what Hashem did. Ki hotzi. That's what Hashem did. Why are you telling me twice? So the Sfas Emes has such a great chat. He says, until Yitzias Mitzrayim, the way the world was is that slaves couldn't be freed. Meaning if you were a slave to a certain mentality, you couldn't break free of that mentality. It was impossible. When Klal Yisrael broke out of Mitzrayim, when they were finally freed from Mitzrayim, the whole world realized that they were able to think differently. They were able to think against the grain, change their perspective. Yisro, before Yitzias Mitzrayim, couldn't possibly have been inspired and come closer to Yiddishkeit. Once Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the whole world was able to start thinking, oh, we are free people. We have freedom of body, freedom of mind. We're able to make our own decisions, make our own perspectives, and etc. So says the Torah like this, Vayishma Yisro is Kol Asher Asa Lakim. Yisro heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. He heard that the Klal Yisrael were taken care of by Hashem. What allowed him to hear such a thing? How did that break through his thick skull of Avodah Zarah? How did he hear such a thing? Says the Torah, Ki Hotzi Hashem Yisrael Mitzrayim. Because Bnei Yisrael are freed from Mitzrayim, that freed up Yisro's mind to be able to attach to that, to be able to be inspired by that, to be able to move by that, and to then take that idea and come closer to Hashem. So we should, first of all, we should be zocha to avoid Yisurim, lo sachmod, even if it's a feeling, either because we realize the Yisurim are not for us, or because we have Yiras Hashem, because we have Yiras Hashem, and because we have a Havas Hashem and a love for Hashem, all of the Yisurim should not be exciting and enticing for us. Additionally, we should find the type of Yira that the Beis Halevi was talking about, Yiras HaOnesh, Yiras HaRom, Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that keeps us away, but brings us towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should try to find ways to limit the Gashmirs in our life so that Torah can come and Hashem can come into our lives like the Torah was given in the Midbar, like the Klal Yisrael felt comfortable in the Midbar, as the Sfasemis and the Maharal told us as well. And we should be zocha to hear by Yishma Yisur. We should be zocha that all of the barriers of Mitzrayim should be removed so that we have the freedom to hear the word of Hashem in our life. Everyone should enjoy a wonderful Shabbos.